presentation, I'd like to give an overview of the present state of descriptive linguistics in Japan and discuss related issues. First, I'd like to introduce the historical background of descriptive linguistics in Japan. Second, I'd like to present its present state. And finally, I will discuss concerns, focusing particularly on fostering the development of younger linguists. Descriptive linguistics is a traditional subdiscipline of linguistics in Japan. Although we have great pioneers of field linguistics, they may not be well known. In the early 20th century, the field of structural linguistics was established by American linguists such as Bors, Speer, and Bloomfield. Around the same time, descriptive studies of languages based on fieldwork began independently in Japan. I'd like to introduce these pioneering works. Kyosuke Kindaichi started his field research on Ainu language spoken in indigenous people of the northern part of Japan in 1906. He published a paper on phonology of Sakhalin Ainu in 1911. Considering that Bors published the Handbook of American Indian Languages in the very same year, Kindaichi may be considered as one of the pioneers of descriptive linguistics, not just in Japan. One of his biggest contributions is that he provided linguistic training to native speakers. Under Kindaichi's guidance, Yukie Chiri, a young Ainu girl, devoted herself to the translation of Ainu oral literature. Her brother, Mashiho Chiri, studied under Kindaichi and became a native linguist. Seizen Nakasone was a native speaker of Ryukyuan, which is spoken in Okinawa. During the Battle of Okinawa, he was a chaperone for high school students who worked as military nurses. He lost all the data he had collected for many years during this war. However, he did not give up his study and studied all over again after the war. He conducted his research across 60 places. Shiro Hattori studied various languages through the course of his academic life. He studied Ryukyuan with the aid of Seizen Nakasone. They were classmates. Hattori made two big contributions towards language documentation. First, he formulated a basic vocabulary questionnaire, which had been employed by many Japanese linguists in their researches. Second, he was aware of the endangered state of the Ainu language, and not only did he conduct research on Ainu together with other researchers, but he also encouraged his students to study the language. These pioneering works have encouraged the succeeding Japanese descriptive linguists to conduct further research. They have been working not only on Japanese dialects and neighboring languages, but also on languages spoken literally all over the world. Let me introduce the speakers of this colloquium and their expertise as examples. I'm studying Siberian Yupik, spoken in Alaska. Nakayama-san is studying Nuchanushi, spoken in Canada. Yamakochi-san, Mongolic language, spoken in China. Nagayama-san, Aruto spoken in Siberia, Ebata-san, Saha spoken also in Siberia, and Sasahara-san, Upper Sorbian, spoken in Germany. Japanese descriptive linguistics have contributed to descriptive linguistics, general linguistics, and to the language communities with which they have been working. They have contributed to descriptive linguistics by publishing reference grammars, dictionaries, and texts, to general linguistics by revealing unknown facts, and to the language communities by devising orthographies, publishing textbooks, and training native speakers. For example, many Ainu researchers have been involved in language revitalization. After the emergence of generative grammar, the number of theoretical linguists has increased. However, a considerable number of linguists study languages based on their fieldwork. At the beginning of the last decade, Japanese descriptive linguistics embarked on a new chapter. The first large-scale language documentation project, Endangered Languages of the Pacific Rim, called ELPR, started in 1999. ELPR, which was a five-year project funded by the government, focused on urgent documentation of endangered languages. Over 200 linguists were involved and more than 120 publications were published. If you have a chance to look at the publications, you will see that Japanese descriptive linguists cover very diverse languages. Three international conferences were held for discussing endangered languages and their documenting efforts. These conferences brought most field linguists together and gave us the opportunity to know people in this field. Furthermore, under this project, many graduate students, including me, were financially supported and were able to conduct their field researches. The tradition established by the pioneering works and the current trends in language documentation, such as the ELPR project, serve as a good foundation for advancing language documentation research in Japan. However, when we think of the future of language documentation research in Japan, there are some concerns. I'd like to discuss two sets of concerns as follows. Number one, concerns over the subdiscipline of descriptive linguistics. And number two, problems faced by graduate students. First, unlike theoretical linguistics in Japan, descriptive linguistics does not have its own organization. Besides the Linguistic Society of Japan or other small circles, descriptive linguists do not have a platform for exchanging opinions. The ELPR project was a well-organized project, although it was a short term. There is an urgent need for a sustainable network of field linguists across the country. Due to a lack of organizations, there are very few domestic journals or conferences where we can submit our papers, while there are several organizations concerned with theoretical linguistics. Second, not much attention has been paid to language documentation as compared to language description. The majority of their descriptive linguist works are focused on language descriptions. The data they have accumulated through field researches are not available to the public in their original form unless they are put into final products such as dictionaries. Now I'd like to talk about the problems faced by graduate students. We have several concerns. However, I'd like to focus on two main concerns. First, the coursework of graduate students barely encompasses training in field methods. Only about five graduate schools, such as those in the University of Tokyo and Kyoto University, have been training prospective field linguists, although there are several graduate schools offering linguistic courses. Even in these graduate schools, field methods have hardly been covered in the curriculum. Students who want to study field methods have to take courses outside their program. For example, at the LSA Summer Institute or do it on their own. It takes time for students to find a suitable way to work on the language. Yamakoshi-san will discuss how we have been struggling in this situation during his talk. Time-consuming data management often wears students out before the publishing of their papers. As a result, a student might have fewer publications than his or her competitors when applying for academic positions. Second, graduate students face a lack of information in urgently required matters. For example, grants for graduate students are limited, while there are barely any available to the master's students. even though there are some grants available, information on such grants is not shared among the graduate students. It is imperative that we share the information on the kind of grant available, on the way of writing a proposal, and the kind of equipment that needs to be bought for language documentation. If you have many colleagues in your department, you may be able to easily obtain such information. Graduate students obviously need grants, but in addition, they are in dire need of a network whereby they can share information and provide support to each other. I brought out some issues and concerns in this presentation. We cannot change systems or curriculum in graduate schools. However, we can bring about the change at the grassroots level. What could we do to address these concerns? The following presentations will throw light on our struggles on these issues. I hope we were able to get useful suggestions through this colloquium. Thank you very much.